0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. I don't think it's fair to say a sleeping giant has been awoken by the words that were not said in the budget. And I'm talking about foster families. According to TUSLA, there are 5,450 children in foster care in Ireland at the moment, and 4,124 foster carers under the aegis of TUSLA. So they're a relatively small group, but they're a group, I think, that feel they have been ignored. And such is the number of calls that we've been getting since the budget, that what we're going to do today is to help people, and we don't want to discourage people because all the calls are heartfelt. We have a WhatsApp voice message line. Very simple. If you have WhatsApp, you just record a voice message on your phone. Keep it to a minute or so, if you would, please. Whatever you feel is necessary, but you understand. And the voice app, the WhatsApp voice message number is 087 1843 709 1843 709, and this is just trying to get as many people on who are trying to get on. I've been trying to get on for the last few days. Here's two examples in the last few minutes.
Hello, Joe. I have fostered for almost 10 years. And in my experience, I would not recommend anyone to become foster care. It's not because of the vulnerable children who have, it's because of the broken system that your listeners have spoken to over the past few days. We have teenage children here, teenage birth children also, but there's a complete lack of any meaningful, any empathy or any meaningful engagement from TUSLA or from the agencies when a carer requests enhanced payments. And we've deeply traumatised children, and lots of carers take in deeply, deeply traumatised children, and they have difficulty regulating. There's a real fear among carers that the children could be removed if you continuously advocate for them. Like we in our home, we've had three TVs broken since Christmas. We've constant damage to our home over the years. My question is, who funds this? Who supports us with this? I'd love someone to answer these questions.
Hi, Joe. I'm a foster carer for many years, and I'm just delighted that you're having this conversation, that you're shining a light on foster carers and what we do. To read the hatred and the vitriol and the horrible comments online about how money-grabbing we are and how, you know, we're only in it for the money is ridiculous. I mean, there are much, much easier jobs out there, you know, that aren't 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We're dealing with traumatised children who will hopefully overcome this trauma with lots and lots of love and attention and care. And they want for nothing. Everything I do for my children. So, you know, walk a mile in my shoes before you want to judge me. I know I'm a good person. I know that what I'm doing for these children is changing their lives, the life that they have compared to the life that they would have had or could have if they ended up in residential care, which, can I say, would cost the state like €6,000 a week. Us foster carers are the backbone of the foster care system, and we're being treated appallingly. We have been overlooked, as you say, for near on 20 years now. And I'm just, as I say, delighted that you're shining the light.
Well, it's the foster parents like yourselves that are shining a light. That WhatsApp voice message number again is 087 1843 709. I have Siobhan on the line, Monica, Catherine, Sharon. I'll begin with Siobhan. Siobhan, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Begin reading your email, please.
None of us can stand in judgment over others. We often have no idea what others have been through. Rich or poor, it makes no difference. Most of us would crumble under the weight of the burden that these children and their families suffer. All families need help, some more than others. The help they are offered is not always either what they need or what they want. But one way or another, children need safety, security, love and care. And they need it while they are still children. They cannot wait until we all have our act together to supply it. So let's find that help. We are all victims of a system that doesn't work. Children, mothers, fathers, foster parents, social workers, all forced through a dysfunctional system. So let's fix that system. Parents hit hard times, often through no fault of their own. Children suffer as a result. That's a simple fact. They often suffer in ways that many can't even begin to comprehend. The system we have is totally inadequate for everyone. It's inadequate for children, for parents, for foster families, for social workers, for support workers, for all services. So let's fix the system. In every walk of life, we have people who struggle at their job, who make bad choices, who may be ill-informed or who don't get it right. In every walk of life, this is the case. So let's help those people understand better so we can get it right the next time. The problem is the system, not the people in it. We can only fix it by listening to each other, by hearing each other, by working together and each other for future generations. So let's fix it. While we waste our time squabbling and scratching at each other, knocking each other down and begrudging each other help, our government is happy to sit back and watch that happen because it takes all of our focus off of them. Yet they are the ones holding the reins and steering us into organised chaos. The government need to answer why. Why, given the supposed boom we've been through, are our children's lives still in turmoil? Why are children and parents still living in poverty? Why are there not enough supports where they are needed? Why is the health service in a mess? They are the ones whom you need to pose all these questions to. They are the ones who can action change, who can fund services, who can reduce poverty and create a more equal society. So let's ask them.
And we have asked them, Siobhan. But stay with us. I want to go to Sharon. Again, our numbers are 51551, text joe@rt.ie, and that WhatsApp voice message number 087-184-3709. Sharon, good afternoon. You entered foster care at the age of 9 and you went through the whole system, which means until 18. Sharon, your point, please.
Yes, so I entered at the age of 9 and I entered in with my two younger siblings. The three of us were put in a foster family together, which we were very lucky to have that opportunity to be placed together because a lot of children get split up. My foster parents, their family went from a family of 4 to a family of 7, literally overnight. The support from the social workers, the turnover of staff, social workers, is there's no consistency for the children and there's no consistency for the families. And when you have no consistency, you're going to have children let down, you're going to have families let down, and you're going to, the system, that vicious cycle is just going to continue and continue. I will always say it was not social workers, it was not TUFLA, it was not the government that got me to where I am today. It was my foster family, it was my two parents that, you know, gave up work, gave up, you know, their extra, you know, activities that they would do for themselves to actually be there to look after us, to bring us to multiple accesses a week, multiple appointments a week, health appointments, therapy. Like the amount of effort and energy that foster parents put into looking after us children who are coming with so much trauma is immense, but yet there's no support behind them. Like, social workers turn off their phones by 6 o'clock. Where do they go if a child has a breakdown, or a child is at risk in some way or another towards themselves or towards someone else? Where do they go? Their only option is to present an A&E or to present to the guards. And no family wants to present to the guards, because that is what we should have an on-call system for. From social workers, they should be on call for families for that support.
And Sharon, when you were in foster care and you said there was a high turnover of social workers, would you go through a series of new interviews with new social workers to tell them?
Yeah, absolutely. Every single social worker that would come into the home, I would sit there and I would relay my story again and again and again. And that's re-traumatising in itself. Yeah. I mean, I could have gone, you know, I go to therapy and I would think, you know, I'm doing all this work on myself. And then I've got another social worker that's going to come in and say, okay, tell me your story. You know, after 2 years of working on, you know, my trauma and my
moving on. Yeah.
It's just, that's not good enough. It's not good enough. The files aren't kept up to date, that families, you know, you could be left without months and months without seeing your social worker or even hearing from them. When you call, the phone is off, you know, and it could be serious moments. You know, I had quite a traumatic upbringing, so that left me with a lot of trauma to have to deal with. And, you know, my family, my foster parents didn't know who to turn to. You know, there was no support there for them to help me through it. And it was really like walking in the dark for them.
And when you needed, as you mentioned, therapy and counselling, Sharon, who paid for that?
So I went, so it was through the HSE.
Yeah.
But now the waiting list that you were on, I mean, I was quite lucky, but say my younger sibling was not so quite lucky. She was left on a waiting list for play therapy that she so needed. The therapist went off on maternity leave. And she was left without any play therapy then for the remainder of the time. She had the same upbringing as me, the same trauma as I did. Yeah. And I know that I needed it, and she most definitely needed it. And because she didn't get the help when she so needed it, when she first entered into the system, then that trauma, them issues, then carried on into her later years. And they didn't. It doesn't have to be like that. You know, and that's the annoying part, is it doesn't have to. It doesn't. The system doesn't need to be broken. And I always said that I would not enter the system to work in. Now I went back on my word and I went into social care
because I always say
you cannot fix a system if you are not involved in it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's up to us foster children, it's up to us foster parents to stick together and make our voices be heard. Because it's not good enough that so many children are left, you know, in dire straits. Okay. So many families are left without so needed support, and they're doing such an amazing thing for these children and for them families.
And Sharon, I don't know what age you're, but am I right in thinking that you would have been in foster care in the last, since the year 2000 or whatever? The point I'm trying to make is the weekly amount that your foster parents were getting to do everything for you, rightly so, and as I suspect, and you can tell me that they did, they went above and beyond what they were.
Above and beyond.
But that amount has not changed in the last two decades. It changed by €9 in 1 year. It's the weekly payment that hasn't changed effectively in two decades, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. And the cost of living has gone up. So I don't know what the government thinks that these families continue at the levels that they're at. With the amount of foster children, like, we came with nothing. I entered into that foster family with nothing. Me and my true siblings, we had a suitcase between us, and there was nothing. So they had to go out and get us all new clothes, shoes, the whole lot.
Yeah.
And the expense of that is immense, as everyone I know can imagine. So you've got a family of four to go to a family of seven, and all of a sudden you've got new clothes, you've got new shoes, you've got school books, and yet no increase. You know, no support there.
But for you, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Sharon, but foster parents are so important. We need more of them. Now, we need to sort out all 100%. These problems.
Absolutely. It's so, so important.
They're lifesavers. Like, they're lifesavers.
Absolutely. 5,450 children, I think you said, are in care in Ireland. And I know a couple of years ago when I was in college, I looked at the thing and I said, you know what, there's showgrounds in this country that couldn't seat all of our foster children in this country. And that in itself is crazy. Mm. The amount of children entering this system. And it, as I said, it's not the government we have to thank. It's not the social workers that we have to thank. It's the people on the front line looking after us day in, day out. The ones that are there at 12 o'clock at night when you have nightmares or you're crying or, you know, your family are on the phone or whatever it might be after an access. It's not them that's there. It's your foster parents. They are the real lifesavers. They are the heroes in this situation.
And you've heard, well, I presume you've heard over, they began immediately after the budget. And it was the dog that didn't bark in the budget. It was what was not said.
Yeah.
Not said again after last year's budget. again after the budget 2 years ago, again mm-hmm. after the budget 3 years ago, not said again after the budget 4 years ago, not said again yeah. after the budget 5 years ago, not said again after the budget 6 years ago, not said again after the budget 7 years ago, not said again yeah. after the budget 8 years ago, not said again after the budget 9 years ago, 10 years ago they got €9, 10 years ago, not said again yeah. after the budget 11 years ago, not said again in the budget 12 years ago, 13 years ago, 14 years mm-hmm. ago, 15 years yeah. ago, 16 years ago, 17 years ago, 18 years ago, 19 years ago, 20 years ago. The only that's weekly it. Payment that has not changed is foster care. And I'm looking and I really won't respect people saying I'm so fed up, I can't do it anymore. I yeah. feel the support isn't there. We didn't get a mention in the budget, didn't get a single lousy euro in the budget. And all I hear, all the echo I hear in that background from all our colleges, I'm not doing it for the money. I'm not doing it for the money. You know by the voice, the timbre, the tone, the passion of these people. They're not doing it for the money, but they do need money. We're in a cost of living crisis. This is on the TUSLA website. And I want to encourage people to think about fostering seriously, and hopefully things will change. Because as Sharon has pointed out, it was a lifesaver for her and her two siblings. Children, this is TUSLA. Children and young people in your community urgently need the opportunity to care, to be cared for in a loving and caring environment. Due to the humanitarian crisis and the impact of COVID-19 on our communities, TUSLA is experiencing an increased demand for all types of foster care placements. TUSLA foster carers provide a safe, secure, stable home environment for the most vulnerable. These are the words mm-hmm. of the government. The yeah. most vulnerable. Not the vulnerable, the most vulnerable in our society, and are a core part of ensuring children who need foster care are cared for in a loving home environment. We're running a recruitment campaign to encourage people like you to consider fostering and changing a child's life. These are the most vulnerable in our society, and the governments have decided that in the last two decades, only 1 year, 1 year, 10 years ago, would they get a €9 increase on the weekly payment. That's for the children. It's not for the parents. Yeah. It's for the children. Catherine, good afternoon.
Hi. Hi, Joe.
You're listening. Your story, please, Catherine.
Well, I was listening to the show over the last couple of days, and I'm a foster parent myself. I've been doing it for about 14 years, and we've had 14 children of all age groups over the 14 years. And like that, I just gave a few examples of different children that we have had here over the years. And one in particular that we've had the longest, he's here about 12 years, and he has issues, he has problems, and he has sort of mild learning difficulties, and he would have ADHD and things like that. And I just was given an example of things that have happened while he has been in our home.
Okay.
Like pulling a radiator off the wall and flooding the house. He's kicked a large picture frame with 10 pictures in it off the sitting room wall doing handstands and broke all the glass down on top of himself. And he's pulled curtain poles off the walls, just constantly swinging out the curtains and pulled down the poles and everything on top of himself. He jumped on his bed and has gone through his bed 3 times and broke his bed in smithereens. And that's just the example. Now, don't get me wrong, we are mad about this chap. There's not a bad bone in his body.
Yeah, well
said. He's just hyper.
They are the most vulnerable in our society.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't think people realise the wear and tear on your car, the wear and tear on your house, the wear and tear on your relationship. Like, we had another baby that came with addicted to heroin. It was born addicted to heroin.
Yeah.
And we were minding that to help out. There was another couple minding the baby and they were struggling.
Okay.
So we used to take the baby for one long weekend every month to give them a break. And like, we would walk the floor. This baby never slept and rarely stopped crying.
Yeah.
And we would walk the floor. It would arrive at 12 o'clock on a Friday until 12 o'clock on the Monday. And we would walk the floor between us here for the whole weekend. And you didn't go outside the door because you couldn't. You couldn't go anywhere with the child because it would constantly cry and want to be rocked and wheeled. And just The stress on a relationship as well, apart from any of the financial stress and everything, the stress on a relationship, and then, like people say, the biggest insult you can get then is for someone to turn around and say that you're doing it for the money. That's the most horrific insult I feel. You know, like, and even, now I've stopped at the moment. We've kept the little lad that's here that we have the longest because he's here so long and everything, we wouldn't dream of parting with him. But I've actually stopped, other than him, I've stopped taking foster children now because my nerves are gone between, like, this little lad nearly got killed on me. He walked out in front of a car. Yeah. We had another teenager here a few years ago who went missing. She was only here a fortnight when she went missing. We went to the guards and she was gone. She was only 14 years old and she was gone. And we went into the guards and the guards were, my husband actually went in. I stayed here in case she came back. And the guards were all concerned and everything until about 10 or 15 minutes into the conversation, he happened to mention that she was a foster child. And the guard put down his pen and looked down and said, more or less laughed and said, Hachez, you know, you may go on home. He said, that's what they do. She'll be back whenever she's ready. And we were basically told to go home. And it was the weekend. She went missing over Friday evening. There was no social workers, no helpline. We walked the length and breadth of the town. My husband drove the length and breadth of the country, ringing and ringing and ringing. I walked the floor here. I never slept a wink. I had visions of how I was going to tell this girl's mother that she was gone or that somebody had kidnapped her. Or I never ate and I never slept the whole weekend. Your nerves would be gone. I had another teenager here another time and she, well, after having a few drinks and I don't know what, we had the baby, the actual heroin baby here the same weekend and I was awake with the baby. Thank God I was awake with the baby because the teenager came here, got into bed and only for I heard this gargling sound, a very unusual sound and something, I was with the baby and I was dreading the thoughts of getting out of bed. I was with the baby and I was trying to pacify the baby and trying to just rest but something wouldn't let me rest. And I said, what is that noise? And I got up and the teenager was literally choking on their own vomit, unconscious choking on their own vomit. So the responsibility that you're taking on if anything happens to anybody else's children, do you know what I mean? It's so wearing on your nerves, on your health, on your relationship. No money would pay you for what you take on.
And you're not. I still take the point. I take that point so strongly, but I also take the point that it says something about our country in what's regarded mainly because of corporation tax. The biggest giveaway budget ever because of the cost of living crisis, the COLC, as we call it, the CULC, because of the CULC, that of 12 billion dispersed through the budget the other day, not one single euro, not one single euro could be found to give to the 4,500 foster parents in Ireland.
Yeah, and another example I hear, to talk about money and the way to spend their money, we had another child here, and she had 1 year left in primary school, about 60 kilometres away from where we live. And she wanted to stay in her primary school and wanted to stay. And the social worker said, OK. And I said, that's fine, but I cannot drive 60 kilometres down, 60 kilometres back and turn around that evening and go 60 kilometres down and 60 kilometres back again every day. I said, I can't do that on the allowance. I said, the wear and tear on my car. My car would be worthless after. It would have so many miles on it, it would be worthless. And my tyres, the cost of fuel. And I said, I can't do that. So I said, you may either move her. She wasn't here that long at the time. She was only after arriving. And I said, find somewhere a bit closer to her school if that's what you want.
Yeah.
I said, or change her to school up where we live. And they said no. And they paid for private. I would not be entitled to anything to drive her up and down, but they paid for a private company to drive her up and down every day and spent thousands. But yet I wasn't entitled to anything to take her.
Okay, okay. Stay with us, Catherine. Joe at rt.ie. The WhatsApp voice message number is very straightforward. 087-1843-709.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Siobhan wants to come back in just before I move on. Siobhan?
Please, if I could just make one point there.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Sharon there. She spoke very eloquently, and she's a shining example of what every foster child should be when they're leaving care.
Yeah.
But if I could just point out to people that if you put the 6,000 children that are in foster care in a boat and they arrived at the shore of this country and they had broken limbs and broken arms and open wounds, there'd be a massive outcry, the way there was for, you know, the victims of Ukraine.
Yeah,
and that would be properly.
Yeah.
All of these children have invisible wounds.
That's exactly.
They're all traumatized.
Said.
They're all scarred. They all need exactly the same help as the children with the broken bones. And yet all of us can turn our backs on them. Okay. Thinking that everything is okay. It's
they're
not
forgotten.
Okay.
They're forgotten.
It's absolutely not okay.
Yeah.
I was at the opening of an organisation last night, an organisation called CARI, and they help children in care, who need support.
Children at risk in Ireland, CARI.
That's where Roderick O'Gorman should have been last night. At the opening of that organisation, there should be one of those offices in every single country,
in every single
county around the country, to help these children, because that's what they need.
Okay, well, the minister can't be everywhere, in fairness, but I know the general point you're making. Monica, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe, how are you?
Your story, please.
Well, I'm 27 years, I'd say, myself and my family, because I have a fantastic extended family that have always been there throughout the 27 years and helped each and every one of the 16 children that we've had in our care. But we wrapped up fostering this year after 27 years. The child in care reached the 18th birthday, and we were asked before and all, would we continue, by social workers and the services, and we said no, that was it. We felt we'd done our due, and we need foster carers. There's no doubt about that. Could I recommend it to anybody? No. But I'd just like to read out the letter that I got when the child in care came
to...
Dear Mr. and Mrs. I note from our records that the child in care has reached the 18th birthday.
Yeah.
A final fostering payment was made in the sum of €704 in July. A payment of €402 will be issued to your bank account shortly. Thereafter, the fostering allowance will cease. It should be noted that a child in care may qualify for an aftercare allowance of €300 per week if the child in care is continuing in full-time education or training. Please contact the aftercare services, TUSLA, the child and family based at the above address. Should the child in care qualify for the aftercare allowance, the aftercare service will then submit relevant documentation to this department, and the aftercare allowance will be then introduced. Should you have any queries regarding the above, please contact our offices at the above listed telephone number or the aftercare services directly. Now, we had all that in place before the end of the placement. We did go down the road of adoption. It didn't work out for certain reasons. But my thing, Joe, is the child in care is coming out of care. Where? This is not about money for or the allowance for the foster parents, because it's for the child.
Yeah.
Where would a child in care, if that our home is the child in care's forever home, will always be an amazing young person we have in our care. I also have my own birth children. But €300 a week amounts to €1,200 a month. Where would a child in care leaving the system? They get a month paid up front for them and their first allowance, and I think it's €300 to buy furniture if they were to move into their own accommodation. There is no accommodation for them.
And apparently,
so where would that child go?
Residential care is at least €1,000 a day.
A day.
Per 24
and
hours.
I know, Joe, for a fact that residential homes are getting 5,000 to 6,000 a week. They also, if they have a difficult child, they can get more. They also, if the child is taken out of the residential home for months on end to get care that is needed elsewhere, that placement is held open for them.
Yeah, I understand.
Now, Joe, I have no issue with that, but that's the taxpayers' money. Surely to God, this day and age, we have a better system. The mantra for TUSLA is children first. I'm sorry to say, it's the system first. It's not fit for purpose. The system is not fit for purpose. And unfortunately, yes, the budget has brought this out, foster parents out, and I'm glad, because it needed to be spoken about. We were hushed away for so long. I'm 27 years in the system, terrified to speak out for fear the child in care at the time would be taken away from us.
Yeah.
We have a profound love for these children. That's why we do it. We don't get sick days. We don't get holidays. We don't get days off. We don't look for respite, because these children are vulnerable. And if we're not able to cope with them and we put them into respite, what does that tell the child? So you work day and night. And as the previous caller said, yes, it does put a strain on your own family. It does put a strain in your relationship. The service is just not fit for purpose, Joe, and I'm sorry to say that. And that's after 27 years of doing something I loved.
And
my own children have said to me they wouldn't go into it. They would not do it. They've gone through trauma when children were taken from air care. They were never looked after. They were just totally, my own bare children, they were just totally put to the wayside. They weren't asked anything, how they felt. And it's only now, as they are adults and they look back and realise the trauma that they went through when children were taken from air care.
And would you have had over the years, Monica, would you, and I really, I think people can hear the caring in your voice and the commitment in your voice to these children and your passion. But over the years, would you have had all ages? Well,
all ages.
15,
all
16,
ages. When my young children, where children were young, I would have had 10 to 18 years of age. And then as my children got older, I took babies and younger children.
Wow.
So I've had all age groups. And the older children that came into my care from 10 years to 18 years of age, they were the most vulnerable. They'd been through the system.
Yeah,
they'd been in and out of so many homes. I was robbed by them. We sat in police stations. We were threatened by them.
Yeah.
I don't hold that against those children.
Yeah.
They were vulnerable children.
The most, the most vulnerable, according to
the most vulnerable
state
in our society. But the system is, something has to happen. This is the tip of the iceberg. You know, the budget, I'm glad, because
it says something, that if the minister... We have a minister for children, and I've never met the man. I'm sure he's a very, very, and he was elected, so that says an awful lot in fairness about him. But if the minister cannot persuade Pascal O'Donoghue or Michael McGrath to give one single euro to the most to the most vulnerable, as I say, for the last two decades, effectively, what does that tell us? How can you say these are the most vulnerable?
Joe, do you know we don't even qualify for back to school allowance?
And
we don't even get the back to school allowance.
And the child has to be with you for at least six months before we can apply for children's allowance.
And the I was years doing fostering, and one child was leaving my care after 2 years.
Yeah.
And the social worker on the way out the door said, I'll collect that book off you. And me, not realising at the time, this was after 4 or 5 foster children I'd had in my care at the time. And the social worker said, and when I came back in, I said to my sister, she's looking for a book or something. And my sister said, what book? I said, I don't know. She said, would it be the children's allowance book? So I rang her and I said, what book are you talking about? And she said, the children's. I said, I was never aware that we were entitled
to. Good God.
You know, it's just...
Every child in the state is entitled to...
Joe, and people say that we're earning a wage. How dare they? And if it was a wage, it would be €2 an hour or less. The minimum wage is 11.30 an hour.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody would accept that?
And if you're earning a wage, you'd be entitled to sick pay, you'd be entitled to pension, you'd be entitled to maternity leave, etc., etc. And by the way, which every single one of them, rightly so, has gone up in the 20 years that the foster care payment hasn't gone up.
No. And a child coming out of the care system, the child in my care is still in school, but her payment, because of her age, is reduced now by €50 a week.
Yeah. Stay with us,
How
Monica.
Does that make sense?
Another voice message in on 087-1843-709.
Hi, Joe. Our experience as foster carers with TUSLA was nothing short of horrendous. We were disrespected, unsupported and patronised when we needed to speak up regarding our own needs as human beings. We would have done anything for the children that were placed in our care at the time, but we were made feel so inadequate and disrespected to such a degree that we felt compelled to call time on fostering for the sake of our own well-being. And we are not alone. It seems to have become par for the course in fostering to accept your own mistreatment if you want to continue caring for children in need of a home. We personally suffer greatly from our experience with Tuzla. And the only way we can justify that suffering is knowing that the children were safe, happy and loved while we cared for them. To anyone in Ireland who feels that they have the capability and kindness to become a foster carer in this country, I'd say don't do it. Don't do it until Tuzla have improved their own capabilities. In the meantime, innocent children are suffering unnecessarily as capable foster carers are being forced out.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe, Dorothy Daddy. Sarah, good afternoon. You're a retired social worker and you say you're glad that this subject is being aired by foster
Absolutely
parents.
Absolutely thrilled, Joe.
Tell
Hello?
Us why. Yeah, tell us why.
Because I think all these foster carers are so articulate. I'm really just so happy that at long last they're having the voice. And I'm just looking from the point of view of the social worker. It's really difficult. You know, they talked about the turnover of social workers.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's because we can't bear the system either. I mean, you know, you go in, you fight for a child, you go and you look for funding and it's refused. When children come into care, all the services should be available for them. There's only 5,000 children, or a little over 5,000.
Yeah, yeah.
So why aren't all the services available? And as somebody just there a moment ago said, the system is the only thing that serves. Nobody else, none of the children, none of the foster carers. The legal system, everything is almost against the children. All the money is paid to GALS, to the legal system.
Well, just explain GALS, because it's a relatively new phenomenon in Ireland.
Court,
yes.
Yeah, when you go into court, you have, you know, children are taken to care and they're often given a GAL. So a GAL will fight, a guardian ad litem, who's a social worker, will fight for these children, extra to the social worker. But they're paid on a pro rata, you know, for every phone call they make. Every mile, I was thinking that listening to the foster carers yesterday, they can't get mileage.
Yeah.
They're paid for every single mile. Everybody is paid for every mile except the foster carers. Yeah. If I bring a child to access, I'm paid for it.
Yeah.
Foster carers are not. I mean, it's just crazy, the system. And it doesn't serve the children and the foster carers. The most important people in the system, they're the people it doesn't serve. And I 100% agree with all those foster carers. I'm so delighted it's been aired. And social workers leave because they just, you go in, you're full of ideas,
yeah,
and you're
yeah,
delighted,
yeah.
And there you go, you're within 3 years, you see their turnover staff. You just can't stick it anymore, you can't fight anymore. The system is won.
And if you any understanding, Sarah, as to why every budget after, but we don't need a budget, by the way, to increase the foster
because
care.
Because have any of those children got votes, Joe? How many, 5,000 children, how many foster care? As the woman said, she didn't want to put her head above the parapet. Because they don't have a voice. Who's fighting for these children? Who's fighting for them? Nobody's fighting for them.
Well, the guardians ad litem. Would they be?
But the guardians ad litem, I'm saying, guardians ad litem is another story, but they're not paid away. They're paid for every hour they work.
Okay.
So like, Tuzla pays them. They also pay the social workers. So there's so many vested interests involved in children and care. And the last people who will get the services are if you have a guardian ad litem, the chances are you'll get more of a service because they'll fight in court for you. But once it's out of court, it's really difficult to get services for children.
So the guardian ad litem only deals with court-related instructions or issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or they can say, we want this, we need this, we need play therapy for this child. And because you're in court, it'll be ordered by the court. Once the child is in care, the full care order is granted, it's out of court. If I want play therapy for a child, then I have to go to a committee, I have to fight for it, I have to say why I want it. I want it because this child, as all these people have said, are vulnerable children who are, you know, in deep trauma. They need it. Obviously they need it. But, like, you have to fight for it. Why would you have to tell, you know, the people in charge why you need play therapy for a traumatised child?
Like, do you know what I mean? I know, I just get passionate about it because I feel so strong.
And when you hear, just listen to Gam, which I think is the comment. Well, no, in fairness, it wasn't, because I think, and I was wrong to use the phrase earlier as well, foster parents are a sleeping giant. There's one thing foster parents don't get much of.
No, that's brilliant.
It is sleep. But this is what was said by the Minister for Public Expenditure in the presence of Pascal Dunhill, the two of them, the Minister for Finance. This is what was said as current government policy on foster parents.
You are correct in saying that for a long time now, the contribution that we make to help you and others with the costs has remained unchanged. And I understand that TUSLA as an organisation will consider any request for additional support, that is in relation to any additional needs that arise. I recognise that you're looking for an increase in the regular rate without having to go to TUSLA seeking additional support for any particular measure. There is a strategic plan on foster care currently being finalised by TUSLA. It will then be considered by the department, by Minister O'Gorman, and I will engage with him on that. It may well make a specific recommendation in relation to the payment to foster parents, and I will certainly discuss that with Minister O'Gorman.
So the Minister is aware that the payment hasn't increased. The Minister is aware that the parents were looking for this group of incredible people who were not organised in that sense, because they're too busy rearing children on behalf of society. But he is aware that they're looking for more money. He is aware that there is a cost of living crisis, because that's all they talk about these days. But he's saying that, well, the cost of living crisis inter alia doesn't affect these children. They live in some bubble somewhere. Then if it does, would you just go to TUSLA for an enhanced payment?
And TUSLA won't give it to you, because if you go to TUSLA and say this child needs orthodontist, as somebody said yesterday, again, as a social worker, I've got to go, I've got to get quotes, I've got to say the TUSLA are the corporate parent. Like, it shouldn't be so hard for everybody. Like, if the children were at the centre of this, it wouldn't be that difficult. But they're not. And I mean, I don't, you know, they can come on and say what they like. They are not, and I can say this because I'm retired. I'm not only retired a year, so I know the system and the way it works. They're not, it's not fit for purpose. The children are not at the centre of it. The foster parents are not at the centre of it. And that thing about the residential is so true. And children in hotels now, so many, my friends work
so the cost, the cost of residential
cost,
compared...
It was in the paper, the Irish Times yesterday. It was in the Irish Times on Tuesday about the cost of keeping children in hotels. That's what... I mean, madness. And yet it keeps going because they don't have a voice. Who cares about these children? Really? I mean, I know you do and we're saying we do, but do we actually care about them?
And
why would we put up with children being in hotels? Why could you put up with vulnerable children being in hotel rooms? I mean, it's not easy for them, because those people are speaking right. These children, they rip their houses, but they're traumatised children. We have to recognise that that's what happens. So all the supports have to be there for these foster parents. They can, every time something happens, somebody has to be out saying, yes, we understand, what do we need now? How can I help you now? Instead of making them feel like, you know, as you said, there's nobody there to help them. There's nobody at the end of the phone for them. Now, there is an out-of-hours after service. I was listening to the lady saying there's nobody there. I don't know if it works. But I'm just saying they do not have the service they need. 100% right.
Okay, Sarah, another voice message.
Hi, Joe. This is Robert Mazzell. I'm just listening to your segment on foster care. And I'm ringing you as a foster child myself for many, many years, from the time I was 6 months old. And I think it's very important, you know, from a foster child's point of view, to know the importance of what these families do. I can say without any hesitancy that my life would be majorly different if I hadn't the influence of Mama Courtney and Papa Courtney over the years. They fostered over 30 children in their lifetime. You know, these children coming from desperate situations, children who are coming from drug addicted families, or they've lost their parents, or there's so many different reasons why these children arrive in these situations of foster care. But to be able to be taken in and to be loved and to be sheltered, and the government needs to do everything they can to make sure that these children, because this is their second chance in many cases, and some of them, it's their last chance. So I would urge the government to do everything they can to support these foster carers and to make sure that these children get every opportunity to live a normal life the best they can with that support.
Okay, back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Sorry for holding people. Julie, I'll go to you first, Julie, your situation.
Hello, Joe. My situation was, I was really thinking when I was listening to all of my foster care friends that when the child moves on to aftercare, and that child can be with you for another year or 2 years before they've done the Leaving Cert, because you put them in transition year because they need it. They need every hour in school they can get. And maybe they've missed so much school coming up along the line that there's still another year along the way, so that you can have those this child until they're 20 years of age. The allowance is reduced down to €300 the minute they turn 18. And as soon as they turn 18, the children's allowance is chopped as well. At the most time that those children need it, because they're becoming expensive, like they're becoming they're adults at that stage. They have other needs. They have adults' needs. More than likely, they can be smoking. You might say, or people might say, oh, well, they shouldn't. But, you know, oftentimes it's that cigarette that will calm their traumas. Their friends that they will have come up along the line will be turning 18 years of age, a number of them. So they will be going to a birthday party, an 18th party. They don't come cheap. And these children at this particular time, and now adults, and the government think it's all right, cut them back to 300 and take away the children's allowance. You know, I don't know. It's just to me that the total non-appreciation of what carers actually do, which is everybody else has, I'm just re-emphasizing what they have said already. And to think that at the end of it all, I mean, I've been fostering for way over 30 years, that come out at the end of it with no pension, nothing, because I'm a volunteer. Because that allowance is not for me, that allowance is to be spent on the children.
Yeah.
And some of it saved for them to make a start on life. When anything I don't spend on them is put aside to give them a start. They might need to buy a car to get to college. They might have to pay for accommodation, for whatever. So I'm a volunteer. And as a volunteer, I have no rights to a pension. I have no rights to holiday pay. I have no rights to sick pay. I have no rights to anything. So I know the child is the main focus.
Yeah.
But I also know that we are just no thought given to us, big, little, small, because they know that our emotional, we're invested in the child's interest and the child's emotions and the child's development. And because they know that we're not going to turn our back on that child.
Of course not. Of course not.
We're not going to turn our back even on their children who aren't in foster care at all.
Yeah.
But because those children have struggled and, you know, pregnancies occur, they don't have to be foster children for that to happen.
Yeah, of course.
And we support those children. We help them keep those children. We help them to keep them out of that terrible system. And that's all I can say about that system. It's just horrendous.
Okay.
So anything that would keep a child out of that system from the next, so that the wheel doesn't do a full circle, we do it. We're doing it.
Okay.
But
say with us, Julie. Alice, I'll come back to you in a sec, Julie, because I want to. Alice.
Yes.
Your contribution, please.
I just want to say that I have received, I'm fostering now for 6 years with Tousley, and personally for me and the two children that we have fostered, we have received fantastic support from the team.
Brilliant.
in Tousley, whether it be psychology support, the social workers, we have three children of our own. There has been a social worker that has particularly worked with our children to help them to prepare for a child coming, then a child leaving, and help them with that preparation for the next child coming. And huge appreciation for what we are doing for the children in our care. Huge appreciation for what our children are doing, because I mean, the whole family of fosters in reality.
Now we're only
fostering 6 years, but I mean, there is, I do think there's a huge, you know, the team, and I think the team that we are under, you know, the area we're under probably has more funding than other areas.
Okay.
You know, and I think, yes, it would be, all foster carers should be getting the super support and help that we have got, because it is a difficult job. They are traumatised children.
Yeah.
But for us, it's been a positive experience, but we have had a lot of support. We haven't had to pay for any therapies that were, every time we went with any issue, it was like absolutely wanting to help these children, and even a music therapist was arranged for a child that was in our care. So, you know, I think, and certainly the social workers that we've been working with, you know, I would say that the hours they put in, how hard they work, you know, is very clear to us.
So you'd encourage people to consider being a foster parent?
Well, I suppose for us, the experience has been very positive for our whole family. I think it has absolutely brought out the best in our kids.
Wonderful.
You know, I suppose that feeling of fulfilment and satisfaction that you are making a difference to a child who, you know, it's huge joy, and not without its problems, but the joy, and I'm sure that's coming through from all of your callers that people do it because they love these children, and that's what these children need. They need the love of a family. That's the number one thing that they need. But I suppose it's definitely the support are needed for all. But I think there's work to be done, and certainly, you know, staff shortages, all these problems that we hear in so many areas. They're in, you know, Tusa suffering with this as well, and you know they're all problems that need to be solved. But I don't want people to think that, you know, that that it's hopeless and there's no point in fostering, because certainly for us it's been a very, very positive.
Okay, and society needs it, but we're hearing from so many voices of such a consistent and persistent message. Joe at RTE.ie. The voice message number on WhatsApp is 087-1843-709.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Paula, your contribution.
Hi.
Your contribution,
good afternoon,
please.
Joe. Yeah. How are you? First of all, I'm very saddened, to be very honest, by the whole situation.
Yeah.
Saddened in so many ways, really, to think that, you know, foster parents as a group, and I think that by going to different, you know, different meetings and everything else that we attend, I think that we're such a strong bunch of people. My partner and I have been fostering since 2012, and we've met loads of different people along the way with different stories. And I always felt, as I think my partner did, that fostering is a vocation and a very, very special job that you're chosen to do. You know, it's not everybody that's chosen to do it, as the rest of the foster carers will know. It's a very, very intense program, you know, and you have to go through it and you have to pass, you have to be picked, and you have to go through rigorous kind of, you know, tests maybe to get into and to be chosen as a foster parent.
And you're vetted and assessed.
Yes, absolutely.
Examined almost,
I just feel that it's extremely sad. And I'm sad for foster parents. And I'm sad for the children. And I just think, you know, I think that a little consideration for people, just be a little bit, you know, kinder to each other.
And why has it come to this?
Because, unfortunately, I personally think, you know, greed has set in on behalf of maybe ourselves. I'll stand up and I'll say it for myself, and I'll be accountable for myself. I think that, you know, when you set out to do something, I never really kind of thought about it. And we never really, you know, you don't really do it for the money.
I know that.
You do it for the children because it's a vocation. And the children are taken in, and you do the best that you can.
And what's your experience been, Paula?
Well, my
in terms of your connection with Tusla or whatever.
Well, I'm extremely annoyed with Tusla because, to be honest, Joe, we're paying in over €100 per month, and I feel extremely let down by them that nobody has come on and said, Joe, listen, you know, I'm going to represent this group because, you know, we are a group that's paying into that fund and we'd like it. This is exactly what we think. Mm-hmm. And so nobody has done that. So I just feel let down that nobody has come on to represent us. I just feel really let down.
And what do you think should happen now, Paula? Then?
You know, I think it's a time really to unite. I mean, everybody else, when anything else in the country happened, got up and they went out and they took about and they went on strike and they walked through Dublin and they walked through different towns in Ireland to get their opinions across and get their voices heard.
But foster,
that's what we need to do.
Yeah, but foster parents that are already run off their feet.
We certainly are.
And how
we
and shorty and the pressures and 24/7 and 365. But how are they going to get the time, the energy, the resources to go and stand outside the doll as a group? And then on the given day that the demo is organised, you'll discover that for whatever reason, only 300 people can turn up because everyone else has commitments. And then some politician says, well, there's only 300 of them. It must be a big issue.
Well, listen, that's sad, really, Joe, to think that that actually would happen
well, it's
in this
sad.
Country.
It's sad that foster parents in our country who are such a valuable, valuable asset to our society, looking after, the words of the government, the most vulnerable, not vulnerable children, the most vulnerable children in our society.
Absolutely.
They have to think about organising a demo outside in the cold and the rain, outside Buswell's Hotel, and you'll get all the opposition TDs. Obviously, they'll come out for the photographs or whatever, and the government TDs. It shouldn't come to that. It shouldn't have to come to that.
It should not come to it. But it's time, Joe. We can't sit back and be allowed to be treated like this. I just think it's extremely painful and extremely sad. And the beautiful little children that everybody welcomes into the home and brings them in, and we do the very, very best
I know that
we're able to do. We really, really do. And you've never heard of this being aired before because it never kind of came to light. So now it's time for people to take a stand.
Okay, stay with us, Paula. Another voice message.
Hi, Joe and listeners. I'm a foster carer for over 13 years. I've done numerous types of foster caring, both long-term, short-term, emergency, respite. When you take in children, particularly if you're taking sibling groups where there's more than one, it could be two or even three children into your care, you're asked to give up your own job, whatever income that is. So you're losing that. Then you're also, in my particular case, I had to get a 7-seater car, so I was going to have that additional expense. I also had to actually amend my own home to make my home bigger. What I did was use an existing space and actually add a bedroom into that space. Now, we did get funding for that, but not the 100% funding. Look, I have nothing but praise for the majority of the social workers that I have had the good fortune to work with. And I don't want this to be a bashing about social services themselves. I just want this to be a realistic look at what we need in our homes.
A statement in from a joint statement, we're told, on foster care from the Minister for Equality and Children and the Minister for Public Expenditure. Given your recent coverage of foster care, please see a joint statement below from TUSLA and the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth. The Minister and TUSLA's CEO have met and discussed the issue of support to foster carers. The Minister recognises that foster carers, like many others, are experiencing cost of living pressures now, and both the Minister and TUSLA want to respond to this in a positive and meaningful way. And the Minister is committed to pursuing all options in future budget. We're talking about this budget. We're talking about this budget. You don't need a budget. The Minister will also work with TUSLA in the coming month. The coming month, that's a good phrase. The coming month, to do everything possible to make some support available on this pressure, as has been done for other groups in society. I'll read that again. That's a crack where the light might get in. The Minister will also work with TUSLA in the coming month to do something possible to make some support available on this pressure, as has been done for other groups in society. Separately, the TUSLA board has on Friday the 30th considered a major improvement plan. I presume that's the 30th coming. A major improvement plan for foster care covering a wide range of issues, and the Minister is committed to working with TUSLA to give certainty to implementing the steps set out in that review. The Minister will be talking to foster carers and the IFCA in the coming weeks. How do you react to that, Paul? I don't mean to bounce it onto you, but it's the glint I see in it is the Minister will work with TUSLA in the coming month to do everything to make some support available. They decided 2 days ago that you didn't need any extra support, to make some support available on this pressure, as has been done for other groups in society. Is that a glint? Now, it needs to be adhered to. Paula.
Yep, absolutely, Joe. Well, look, as you said, it's a crack, you know what I mean, where the light can kind of, it's a little start. And, you know, isn't it good to even to have that and to get that, even though 2 days ago, like, we were non-existent?
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it's something. It's a little glimmer of hope.
Well, it's there and it's a statement. Now, we've asked the minister to come on, but it was fairly short notice, so we'll see you over the weekend. Catherine, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Your contribution, please.
Yeah, I suppose, just from my point of view, I was one of these people who thought, like, you know, I could offer a child a safe home and a loving home, and I'm sure how hard could it be? Like, I just throw them in with the rest of them and we'll all get on with it. It'll be great. And we were interviewed, we went through the whole process. It just took a couple of years and everything, and then we were approved, and then we waited a while for a child to come into our home. Mm-hmm. And I would literally say within 2 weeks of having the child come into our home, I was like, what have I done? You know, I'm just, this is just, we were overwhelmed.
Okay.
I was now one of these mothers who had a child in the centre of the supermarket kicking and screaming and just kind of like,
yeah,
you know, I was looking around and I was like, oh my God, you know. And I couldn't actually believe at the time that, you know, I suppose maybe in my naivety, I thought that, mm-hmm. you know, that these children just needed a loving home and they'd be great, you know. So I was working at the time. I thought, you know, I can manage everything. And, you know, I quickly discovered that I couldn't hold down a job and mind this child as well, along with my own family. Yeah. And so we went from a two-family income house to one-family income. And then we had multiple appointments. We had, you know, play mm-hmm. therapies. We had social workers. We had, you know, our house wasn't our own anymore. It just, you know, it was just overwhelming. And I would just, you know, for all the people who are saying, oh, God, you know, you're getting €325 per week. You know, like, I mean, I was doing a great job. We opened up our home.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I found that, no, I'm, you know, I'm unemployed now.
When you realise and you got it, well, these are the most vulnerable children, and you realised that this child, unsurprisingly, had serious difficulties, did you reach out to Tuzla for help?
Oh, my God. I was, you know, ringing them and banging down their doors and, you know, could we have support? And, you know, like, I mean, I have to say, like, the social workers, they were very supportive.
Yeah.
Telling me over the phone, oh, look, you know, I understand, and oh my, this is terrible. You know, it's Friday evening, I'll ring you on Monday. You know, and I was like, okay, well, now I'm faced with this small child who I have to say, like 2 foot nothing, yeah. smashing my house to pieces, like, because he was so full of trauma,
smashing
my house, terrorizing my children who were much, much older. I mean, they ran for the hills, like,
okay.
and just, you know, them kind of coming back to me on a Monday and saying, oh, well, we're going to have a professional meeting. And I, okay, sometimes I'd be invited into the meeting and other times I wouldn't be, you know. And then, how was I coping? You know, yeah, obviously I wasn't doing very well. I feel I'm in over my head. And then it was like, I tell them, well, no, we're doing okay. It's what you're not saying that we're concerned about. So I was like, okay. So anyway, you know, things carried on, and you know, we were ringing looking for help, and we looked for respite. There was no respite to be given because, you know, there's a shortage of foster carers. You know, so we were kind of, I felt trapped and I felt guilty that, you know, that I couldn't help. Like, and what had I done to my family? You know, and anytime you rang, they were like, oh, yeah, we understand. It's awful. It's terrible. And I just kind of, you know, it went from something really, really positive to, you know, where's all this help you promised me? you know. And
okay, stay with us, Catherine.
Okay.
Hi, Joe. I'm a foster carer, only a young foster carer compared to the experienced ladies on your show. I'm 4 to 5 years doing it. And it makes me sad that people are questioning the money that we get to foster kids. These kids need us. Like, who else will take them in if it's not for us who, you know, sacrifice so much to mind these kids, give them everything, love them from the minute they come into our house. And like the lady said, they take up your whole life. You can't just, you know, get up and go and leave them. Like, they have so much trauma and so much stuff that they've gone through that you need to be there for them 24/7, 190 or whatever someone said, an hour. And then other people are calling us glorified babysitters. Babysitters get 15 to 20 euro an hour and no one says anything to them about that. It just feels really sad that the conversation has gone to money, rather than recognising that people are giving up their lives and some relationships to look after these kids. And probably, you know, who else would do it? Like I'm saying, they'd all be in homes, they'd all be in residential areas. And how much is residential? Way more than 352.
Yeah. And I take that voice message point. Well, that it's why is it come to money? Because it was the budget, and the budget was another example of that foster parents felt once again, despite their long campaign, despite 20 years of not being mentioned in the budget with one single exception. You could put it as the straw that broke the camel's back, because there's a lot more, as we're now discovering, a lot more issues arising. Susie, good afternoon. Your point, please.
Hi, Joe. Good afternoon. Well, on the back of that, talking about the money and not let's make it about the money, because, I mean, to be honest with you, if they turned around and offered us an extra 10 euro a week, I would be even more insulted.
Okay.
I think now that we have the momentum going and the outcry, we should be making this about foster carers' rights and the fact that we have none, you know, absolutely none. I gave up a job. A very good, well-paying job, £3,000 a month I was taking in, and to do this, I was getting a full pension contribution. Mm-hmm. You know, I had health insurance covered, and now I have none of that, none. And I, like all the people that have spoke before, I have a little, gorgeous little foster child who has upturned our life, and, you know, it's all about him now, you know. So it's like, yeah, let's not make this about the money. Let's please don't offer more, 10 euro a week.
Yeah,
please
point well made. Point well made, Susie. Rachel, finally, your point, please. Apologies to everyone, I couldn't get in. Rachel.
Hi, Joe. I was only sending it in a text, but
yeah,
just quickly before you finished at 3 o'clock, I wasn't expecting to be on air, but just that I have 2 little foster children as well,
yeah.
And I've fostered since 2013. And just when you hear the thing about the money,
yeah.
Like I was at the Ploughing this year and I went to Ken Black's.
The toy store,
Joe.
Yeah,
and we got the children. Like you think ahead, like I have 4 children of my own as well,
yeah.
And I got them 2 ride on lawnmowers, you know, they're like, they're 400
tractors,
euro a piece.
Tractors.
You know, the tractors. Oh, sorry, the lawnmowers, the tractors.
Tractors.
I'm getting just a little bit nervous now on the air. But, you know, so, and Ken Black himself, he owns the shop. He delivered them here last Sunday. And, you know, that's what I just wanted to say. Like,
Much were the, and Ken Black would be one of the most reasonable toy stores in the country.
Yeah.
How much were the 2 ride on tractors, the 2 tractors for children?
Well, it was 800 for the 2.
Oh, yeah. And that's out of your pocket. You won't be applying to Tulsa for that money, will you?
No, and Joe, I'm not even making a thing about the money. And
I know you
aren't. I hate even saying anything about money with the children, but that's what goes on here in our house and loads of other foster parents that I know. So one huge thing was always about the money. Joe, if you'd done it for the money, it would not work.
I know that. It
actually wouldn't work.
We'll finish, Rachel, on the minister's words, and hopefully they will resonate. The minister for children. The minister will also work with Tusa in the coming month to do everything possible to make some support available on this pressure, as has been done for other groups in society. Brenda Donoghue produced the series. Producer is Lisa Marie Berry. Shane Galvin is the BCO, Liam Curran on sound. And Ray Darcy's next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.